CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with Chandler David Watson. Tracy McBurney's Incredible Energy Consciousness. Mikael Mears' Financial Consciousness. And nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with Quantum Physics and Consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Believe. Good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. Well, if you were tuning in for Mikael Mayer, he was here last week, and we have Tracy McBurney here today.
You're going to be disappointed.
Well, not necessarily disappointed, just very different.
Could be a head trip.
Mikael talks about kind of business consciousness. And
oh, my God.
Yeah, totally different.
So not my thing.
Mine either. And Tracy talks about energy. Now, we've got a couple things we're going to talk about. She had well, you've had some interesting things happen to you in the last few weeks.
But I've had an interesting 3 weeks.
Yeah. And I know actually that I've heard a lot of people are going through some very interesting things because of this last hit with Uranus and Pluto squaring off, which we're doing for the next 3 years, which is, it's all about transformation. So a lot of people, their stuff is coming like right into their face. I've heard a lot of people have been losing their pets. A lot of people are dying, like just a lot of stuff going on. And you also had a pet pass.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
a good thing, pass, because that's really what it is. Pass into another dimensional realm, because he's still around.
Right. So initially it felt like you were grieving before he died.
That's absolutely true. That's where the grieving for me was. It was during the process of actually internalizing that he's not staying.
Yeah.
That he's not staying here. That wonderful, what I call softest kitty in the world, was leaving. Like the softest kitty in the world was leaving. And he was making it very clear to me that he was not actually leaving. He was transitioning into a different place.
Right.
But yeah, that was difficult a little bit. But he made it very much easier for me while it was all going on.
Right.
Yeah, so it was an interesting way to walk with death. It was much different than I'd ever perceived.
Right.
Yeah. I haven't had to experience a lot of death of things that I'm very close to. And so it was, it was interesting.
Mm-hmm. However, since then, you've discovered a lot of information about our little bear.
While it was going on, and since then, a lot of information. First of all, just because we've got maybe a whole bunch of people that are going, huh? Bear was the name of our cat. A code name, softest kitty in the world. My girlfriends would refer to him as Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Absolutely convinced that he was gay.
Oh, I see.
I, of course, look and say, could you not possibly have been projecting your own gayness on my cat? And to which point they responded with laughs and giggles and a kind of a look of, well, maybe. Anyway, he really was, to me, the softest kitty in the world. He was a lovely, almost all black, long-haired cat that we purchased from the Humane Society about 16 years ago with his brother, Fraser. So when he came to us, we named him Farley.
Oh.
So it was Fraser and Farley. And after Fraser died in the first couple of years by getting his neck wrenched under a fence in our backyard at Christmas, then it was just Farley left. And at that point, our softest kitty in the world would give me bear hugs. I would pick him up and he would literally hug me by grabbing like both paws around my neck and really just hugging. Hmm. So I started to call him Far Bear. And fast forward about 10 years or so, he became way less interested in the hugs. I think actually quite traumatized by the death of his brother. And soon he just became Bear. It seemed rather silly to continue to call him Farbear, so he just became Bear. So for the last 5 years of his life, he was known to us as Bear. Anyway, as the story goes, my cat explains to me, we got back from our Deerhurst vacation the end of the third week of August, and we came back to a sick cat. Which apparently, according to the vet, as cats age, is actually quite common. We came back to a prognosis of chronic renal failure, which again, according to the vet, is quite a common ailment for cats of his age. He was just about almost 16. It didn't look good. As far as the vets were concerned, they really didn't like the counts in the blood. It was not coming back that there was an infection in the urine. Anyway, that precipitated the next almost 4 weeks of Aid My Cat. Because I work quite intuitively and can connect into spirit and do listen to the voices in my head as they speak to me, Bear just happened to have been one of those voices. And he started to make it quite clear that he wished my aid and he wished my help. I have a radionics machine at home. He wished my aid and he wished my help, but this was not about saving him at all. I was to understand that it was time for him to leave. I was also to understand it was time for him to reveal himself and to reveal a higher purpose and reason for his being and reason for his continued existence and stay with us well beyond his passing. So the word reveal, it was a word that he used very often. He told me that he was my son's older brother.
No.
There are very few people that know that my husband and I had had a miscarriage before our son was born. So it was interesting to hear that. I heard that in the quiet hours one morning very early on in this experience, that he had existed as that energetic. He also told me that he was our son's guardian angel. He said that very few people have an experience of walking this earth as animate objects with their guardian angel, and Liam had been afforded that experience for this length of time, and that it was time for him to take a greater role as Liam's teacher. Up until this time, he had functioned more in a protective role than in the role of guidance, which is what he was now venturing to do. It became clear as the weeks went on that not only was he revealing himself as that for my son, he was revealing himself as a almost like a form of mentor to us, or a guidance force for us to be able to call on or connect with. And not just for us and not just for our family and not just for those who participated in his care here, which I'm speaking about two women in particular who were always there for him when we went away. But he started to make it clear that he would be available and was making himself available to anyone in this world who wished to make use of his expertise and his guidance. That came in through a shaman that I went to, coincidentally, an appointment that had been made weeks previously, and it just happened to fall the day after he passed. So she gave me some interesting information, further information about him, about where his spirit and essence had come from, what he was doing here, what his greater purpose was and reason for being here. And so he revealed, again the word revealed, he revealed himself by a different name other than Bear, although with a smile, because I can feel him laughing or smiling or being quite amused, amused is the word, by continuing to refer to him as Bear. But when he was speaking to this woman, this shaman, when he was coming through her and channeling through her, she called him I think, a guardian. She called him a guardian at one point. He very adamantly corrected her through that channeling and said, I am master. I am not guardian to you. I am master. And then he went further on to say, I am master of the realms. If you wish to refer to me, then my name to you would be Master of the Realms. And he revealed that his spirit, his essence had come through, his energy pattern had come through a corridor of time available to him. Coming from the ninth dimension, he said, and coming from a star realm. I think it was Realms of Stars or a star realm, thus the name Master of the Realms. And it's been a very interesting time since he has passed. He told me while he was still here that he would be at my feet every time I sat down to work, every time I sat down to do anything that would be considered work. He would be sitting at my feet, guiding and aiding in facilitating clarity and connection to what I call this divine, to this light, to this essence of pure love, that he would be participating in helping that to be anchored and helping greater wisdom and truth to come through the channel that I was desiring to stay open to. It was actually very interesting because the day after he left this earth, I had a client in my office, and she actually sees. She sees spirit. She knew nothing of this, but she knew that my cat had passed the day before. And she said to me about half an hour, 45 minutes into our session, she said, you know, your cat is sitting at your feet. Did you know that? Your cat is sitting at your feet. And I thought that was kind of a beautiful confirmation of what it was that I had heard. I can feel him there. I'm not one who sees spirit. I sometimes will see it in my mind's eye, but I'm not really one that sees spirit as some others do with their real, tangible eyes. So it's been interesting in the transmissions that have come through, the knowings that have come through, the coincidences that have occurred during that passing, which I wouldn't mind speaking a little about, and after, have been, food for thought. Mm-hmm. Food for a lot of thought. Definitely a different way of seeing death. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I went through any kind of a grieving process after he left. It was almost like I had completed what he called the change in consciousness. By the time he actually left, I really do think I had done the 180-degree shift to no longer perceive him in any way with any cell of my being the way that I had perceived him as softest little kitty in the world. I was internalizing him as something else, something higher and something more. My husband still struggles with that quite a bit. I think my son got it very quickly. He had a moment of grieving while Bear was still here, and then just seemed to shift out of all of it. I initially perceived it as my son is in denial. He was very close to this cat, but connecting with this shaman, this woman that I went to the following day, she said no. She said, your son has completely internalized this spirit's essence and its new connection to him inside of his being now, and is absolutely accepting of where he is, where this cat is.
Nice. All right. Well, with that, we're going to go to our first break. If you have questions, I know a lot of people are going through a little bit of stuff. If you want a different perspective, give us a call at 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. You're listening to Intuitive Soul with Tracy McBurney. She can be found on the web at tracymcburney.com, TracyMcBurney.com. Her website will be up shortly again. You can also go to my website at Intuitive Soul to find a lot of information about Tracy. And we're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
CBS Radio The Sky and NewSkyRadio.com are presented only for entertainment purposes, and no guarantee is made for the accuracy or suitability of any advice or other information offered.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. Today we have Tracy McBurney with us. We've been discussing the passing of her cat named Bear. And we're going to talk, she talked with a shaman about how to connect with pets. So if you've had a recent passing or even not so recent and still are in the grieving process or just want to connect again with a pet that's passed, I'm sure it's probably the same as a person, but I think pets have a different calming energy than people do. But let's work with that.
It's probably because we don't have the same amount of garbage around our pets that we have around people that have potentially passed, whether that be our own guilt or regret or remorse. Or okay, so I'm sitting with this shaman, Nora Anderson, lovely woman, the day after Bear leaves this earth. And she says to me, I'm sitting in a chair that actually has arms on both sides. She says, put your hands on both arms of the chair. Just sit quietly and shut your eyes. And she basically said, just get yourself calm. I like eyes closed because it allows you to have a fuller understanding and connection to all of your different senses, because some of us are hearing people, and some of us are feeling people, and some of us are seeing people, tactile people, sensing people. So I like the shutting of the eyes even when I'm working with clients. So she got me to do this. And then she said, set up your intention. Just intend that you wish to connect with the energy of your cat, bear. And you wish to call forward that experience. And she said, in your head or out loud, just say, bear, show me a sign that you are here with me. And I could feel this would be, for me, a sensing. It was a change in pressure. It felt like almost a density, a little bit of a density pressure came down all through me. And I kind of went, oh, that was a change. You're looking for a subtle change, whether that's a change in your vision, a change in pressure, a change in cold versus hot. For me, my body didn't get hot. Some people's it does. Some people's body gets cold. This was about a pressure change. And then, of course, you can play with this by saying, okay, bear, I'm trying to get a handle on this. Would you please leave now? Would you please leave? And then you can feel a change in that. And then you can ask your cat to come, please show me a sign that you are here again. You can do that 500 times with your cat. They don't care. They want you to discern. That's the word. They want you to be able to discern and to feel confident with your capacity to discern that change. Whatever that subtle change is that tells you in your heart, in your cells, in your beingness, that they are there by whatever means. And so that happened, and there was that pressure change. And that wasn't so new to me. It was a good thing to do with my husband and a good thing to do with my son. But I walk people through these exercises about connecting with people that have passed on over and over again in my office. I do the same thing, getting people connected in with their guides. Literally, I'll help them to ascertain how many guides they actually have walking with them. And they can feel the pressure change of each guide individually. So it's the same kind of concept, pressure change or color change or whatever it is for that person. It was nice to be able to have an experience the day after he passed of a tactile, real sensory experience that said, ah, you are here. And you do come when I call. Which I also thought was kind of cool, considering that he never came when I called when he was alive. And he would laugh and say, well, you know, some change is good. Anyway, that was lovely. It was a lovely experience. I can feel him at my feet. We could feel him. Even my husband could feel him. He used to walk around the block with us while we were walking the dog at night. We'd go out for that late dog walk about 11 o'clock at night. And on nights where our cat felt that he would like to join us, he would literally join us from about 20 feet back. And it was hysterical because there was a game in all of this. He wanted to walk around the block with us, but there was this whole game of pretending that he wasn't, pretending that he was part of this experience and not part of this experience. And every time you turned around to see if he was there, he'd kind of either stand there, look around, pretending that he had nothing to do with what was going on, or he'd just kind of walk under a car or do something that said, I'm not really doing this. I'm not really following you. And yet he would sometimes follow us around three or four blocks.
Wow.
After he had passed, we could and still do feel him sometimes walking energetically. But now he's not walking 20 feet behind us. He's walking as an energy right with us. Like he's right with us. And there is a density of energy that is just there. And even my husband, who tends to be less trusting of all of this than I am, can feel it.
That's so cute.
Well, he's in certain instances, he can be far more trusting than I when it comes to, potentially people here, okay. Much more open and trusting of people in general. But as far as the spirit world, I've got it over him. So that's how you do it. It's the other experience that I, since the passing of my cat, you hear stories. people have delivered me stories to literally say what they've done sometimes is they've called on their cat or their dog. They've realized that the other dog in their house is now lonely because the partner has now left. And so they got the idea in their head where that idea came from. Spirit. They get the idea in their head to call on their dog, Jake, who has passed, to come and be in the home while they go away for the afternoon. And they can feel the spirit of the dog descend into the house. And they watch the energy changing of the dog that is now there. The dog that is still alive is now, they're saying, manifesting certain behaviors of relaxation or certain behaviors of ease that are giving them the impression that that living dog gets now that it isn't being left alone in the house. That it is either feeling the presence of their dog, Jake. In this case, it was a dog named Jake. They're feeling the presence of that dog, Jake, or they're seeing the presence of that dog, Jake, in the house. And therefore, the problem that was of 5 minutes ago is not a problem. Yeah, so it's interesting. So these pets will come on demand. And yeah, they're not really gone. Right. They've just transitioned into a different place, a different dimensional realm, into wave form rather than matter. I don't pretend to understand it all. Maybe you have to really get quantum physics at a level that I may never get it, probably. Anyway, it's been a really interesting experience, and I would imagine it's probably going to get even more interesting. Mm-hmm. So that's how you call on a pet. Seems a little simple. It really is. And then you just have to kind of hone your capacity to pay attention to the subtle. I will repeat, subtle. Don't be looking for something big, like some crash of some sort of boom. It's subtle. It's subtle changes in pressure. It's subtle changes in color in your vision. It's subtle feelings or a coolness or a warmth. Subtle is the word. And we've got to start to become the experiencers of subtle energy wave patterns again, and to allow ourselves to be open to those.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And not have the expectations of needing something bigger.
Need something bigger because we are oblivious. We are senseless. Mm-hmm. When I say it in classrooms, I don't mean senseless as in you're stupid. I mean senseless as in you've shut down your capacity through reasons of protection. And need to protect, self-protect, you've shut down your instinctual capacity to be able to feel, psychically feel these subtle energies within you. And so if you lived in homes with people that raged, if you lived in homes where there was a lot of energy dynamic going on, and you were very, very sensitive without perhaps the appropriate shielding in place, then you just couldn't handle what was going on. You could not. You were so overwhelmed by the energy that was all around you. You had to do this potentially for your very survival so that you could still stay here, still think, still function, still stay reasonably clear. And so if you're one of those people, it's almost like there needs to be a restructuring of what I might call energy management. There has to be a restructuring, a releasing of the old time frame, so that you're not still in that self-protect mode and you're not still expecting harm to come to you. You're not still expecting to be so overwhelmed by the energetics of these subtle energies. And also really perhaps even a change in your environment, right? Like if you're still creating these negative environments to try and work through your pain, then you're probably not feeling safe enough to open up to these subtle energies because you're still living with a rager who's still raging.
Right.
You're still living with the ball of overwhelm that you can't deal with.
Yeah.
So some people just may not be able to get this right now, and it's because they need to change their energy environment and they need to change how they're creating and how they're healing themselves. We don't need to heal ourselves by putting ourselves in the same danger that we felt we were in the past. That's not the divine way to heal ourselves.
Let's put that on hold, that thought, and let's deal with that when we come back from break, because I know you want to talk about poisoning. So you're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Tracy McBurney. She can be found on the web either on my website, intuitivesoul.com, or hopefully very shortly, because her website's been down a little bit, at tracymcburney.com, T-R-A-C-Y, so no E with Tracy, but an E with McBurney, M-C-B-U-R-N-E-Y.com. And we are on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries. Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends, and today we have Tracy McBurney with us. Now, we just finished a very interesting part of acknowledging energies of pets and how to call them back in. And then we moved into an area that, we want to segue it into poisoning because it's, why don't you take that?
Well, we were leaving off with that thought that as we leave things unhealed within ourself, one of the only options that we see as available to us is to continue then to create the same pattern over again to extensively poison ourselves again, to put ourselves in that same negative experience so that we can understand more, so that we can grasp more, because we haven't been able to let go of it yet. We haven't been able to forgive it yet, get past it yet, overcome it yet, because we're still looking for more pieces of intellectual data. We're still looking for things that are going to get into our heart, that are going to make sense of what seemed a senseless act, for example. And so it's almost like we walk around with these transparencies in our pocket of our unhealed emotional pain, and we lay them down in front of people. We say, you're perfect for the part. Here's my transparency. Will you play this game with me? Because I have to recreate this again, because I need more words. I need more understanding. I need more of what I do not have yet to be able to forgive it, find compassion for it, understand it, let it go, and move past it. And so we hand the transparency off to somebody. They play the role for us. We point the finger at them, blame them for everything, grab back our transparency, stay in our place of blame, create the pattern 5 years later, pass the transparency on to somebody else. We create an incredible amount of suffering and pain and hardship for ourselves by recreating these same patterns, meaning we are literally emotionally poisoning ourselves. These negative emotions that we get in as a result of recreating these patterns are like poison to us. They're like chemicals of poison. And so the reason why we're even talking about this is because one of the things that Bear was trying to help me to understand while he was still alive, because he wanted a more graceful and merciful releasing. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to be in so much pain. Mm-hmm. During this process, and he knew he did not have to, and he was looking to me to help him with that. So using my radionics machine and through prayer, I was literally looking for the poisons that had gotten into a system that had participated in the physical taking out of the body. So I was able to find poisons like dioxins, high levels of dioxins coming from cat foods, coming from cat treats. A lot of it, he was showing me some cat treats. I'm not even going to mention the companies that were part and parcel of this, because I do not believe that they intentionally, nor did he believe that they were intentionally poisoning him. But the cat treats that seemed to be the most problematic were the ones that were surrounding fish, which spoke to me about water. It spoke to me about the water that the fish were living in and eating in. And so I was finding toxic levels of dioxins in my cat, toxic levels of something called paraquat, large amounts of this insecticide. My husband had to look it up on the internet because I didn't know what it was, but the numbers were huge, and they were in his brain, they were in his kidneys, they were in his pancreas, they were in his liver, they were everywhere that I was looking. These numbers were huge, PCBs were huge, and so he was asking me to move out these toxins out of these organs and to aid him in healing one of what would be called a Homer conflict, a Dr. Homer conflict, a German New Medicine conflict, an abandonment conflict that was hitting at kidneys, which would be creating water retention and an issue with water. I was doing all of this. What I started to see as I was doing all of this is his appetite started to return. He started to be able to eat more. I would work with my radionics machine to infuse enzymes into his stomach, to put water into his stomach because he wasn't taking in any water as a result of these conflicts, to just infuse nutrients into his being. And it was working to a point where there was a day where he had so much energy inside of his body again through the intravenous solution that we were delivering to him and what I was doing with the radionics machine, that he could literally climb up the way he had done for many years. He could climb up onto the eavesdrops, up onto the second level of our house, stay out all night one night, come in through the window where our air conditioner was by meowing at that window. We couldn't even believe it. We'd left the front door extensively open for him because he'd been out, which is the place that he told us was his favorite place to be, in the front of our house. We have a row house. So he talked to me at great length about seeing the front of our house and the back of our house as two different universes and two different worlds for him to play in. And he preferred the front world. Anyway, on this particular night, he had so much energy that he came in up through this eaves trough, up on top of the roof, in through that window. And then in the morning when he was talking to me, he thanked me. He thanked us. He wanted to thank my husband and I for doing everything that we were doing. My husband was giving him the intravenous. I was working with the radionics machine because it afforded him a night to be outside again, to be able to say goodbye to his home, to be able to say goodbye to his world, to be able to say goodbye to his friends, to be able to walk with them and to be with them. He was even quite talking about the grass on the front of our lawns, the tree that was in the front of our house. I mean, he had a great deal of reverence for all of it. It was like he was showing me pictures of taking snapshots of this world that he lived in, that he so loved. And he was thanking me for letting him roam free, for letting him roam free for all of these years, and for letting him be who he is and who he came here to be. And one of the things that he was here to do was observe. He wanted to make sure that I understood that. He was a very observing cat. Anyway, it was fascinating. He was teaching me about these poisons. My son was born with one kidney. He wanted me to know the poisons. He didn't want me to be afraid of them. He wanted me to not be in denial of them, to understand that they were here, to understand my power around them. To understand how to feel more confident about dealing with these, and to help me to feel more confident dealing with these things that he called the poisons of our world. We then started to have some conversations about humanity's need to poison, humanity's consciousness and their need to continue to poison themselves, and their need to continue to poison the world in which they lived in. He took it right down to our beingness, our need, our personal need as a human to continue to poison the world that we lived in, which would be our physical body and our energy environment around us. So this wasn't about the bigger world of the planet Earth. This was about him talking about a consciousness need of humanity to continue to poison their own individual worlds. Now, this was not the first time I had been introduced to this concept. Quite a few years ago, I got told by my guides to go and read the Bible, to go and read the chapter of Adam and Eve. And I kind of did a double take. You want me to do what? And they said, we want you to go back and read this chapter of the Bible. What they were saying was, we're not telling you that the story is true. We're telling you that there's truth in the story. We're telling you that there are paradigms that have been written there that are imprinted in human consciousness. And these are things that we are trying to move past, trying to evolve from. And if you think about it, one of them comes from that Eve grasping on the choice to grasp on to the apple that she was instructed not to take from that tree. And then the resulting poison that infiltrates the mind and the consciousness as a result of that choice. It was just fascinating to have my cat sit at my feet, not only guiding me to find the poisons that were inside of his physical body, and to educate me about where they were in the foods that we'd been feeding him, meaning I had to take responsibility for the foods that had poisoned him. I also had to take responsibility for, with Ho'oponopono, with my need to continue to want to poison my world and to participate in that. And to really look at that. with every cell of my being, every space in between. And every space in between the spaces right to infinitum, apparently.
We need to pause there, and we will come back and talk more about that and responsibility of us poisoning ourselves. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tracy McBurney. She can be found on the web on intuitivesoul.com, or her website will be up again very shortly, tracymcburney.com, TracyMcBurney.com. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
On the web now. Log on.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Tell me.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. Today we have Tracy McBurney. She's usually with us every second Friday of the month. We did have a little bit of a change, but she will be back next month at the second Friday of the month. We've been talking about, well, it's been a very interesting show, and we sort of ended off with Tracy, you know, taking responsibility for the poisons, or how her cat showed her that she must take responsibility for the poisons. And I have my own little interesting story about being poisoned, and it started probably at the very beginning of me taking a part-time job to assist handicapped children and working on a diesel bus that had exhaust problems or fume problems or some sort of leak. And we did all this work last year because that's when all of the manifestations of problems sort of occurred that I actually was starting to ask why. They probably were there earlier, but it was just then that I started asking why. And then we did all this work. We got it fixed. We got a new bus. It was cute. It was little. It was just perfect. And then this year, with my non-committal even to start the year again with all the other problems, and even requesting before to not have a diesel bus, I got another bus that ended up having this time a very strong leak that was quite obvious, although not to the people in the shop right away, but they did identify that there was another leak. And so then I had, you know, another couple weeks of poisoning myself.
Which,
take it away, Tracy.
Which Lori has to take responsibility for. So what's interesting, and so as we were talking at break, and I don't know whether this is actually valid, but to me, it's like we're all being pushed to the limit. And one of the things that we're being pushed to do is to allow the old things that have governed us, the old traditions that no longer serve, the old agreements that are not beneficial, it's for all of them to now die away. So to me, I'm wondering, do you, Lori, know another way to die? Know another way for all of this to die than through poisoning? Because it seems like you still are the creator of your life and you're working really hard to create almost that death by poisoning. And does that link back to 500 years ago, 300 years ago, where there's a part of you that has not reconciled a real poisoning, like a real poisoning of you that, you know, precipitated a death? I wouldn't know. It just came to me while we were on break and I went, aha.
So you know that it's accurate.
I'm sure probably. but at the end of the day, it's still bigger than that.
Right.
We can only do our part. And our part is only about our own individual world that we live in. We are our own universe. Our own universe that's got bacteria in it, that's got really very functional bacteria in it, trillions and trillions of cells, spaces in between that have stuff that quantum physics is only starting to figure out now. We are our own universe. And all we can do is take charge of that universe, take charge of that world. Make that world better, make that world cleaner, make how that world creates clearer. That's all we can do. And then that is our part. Then we have done our part in the changing of whatever is out here in the larger world. Right? So,
and is there something also, because we were talking also about my website and how I have somebody who's not committed. Am I just not committed to wanting changes?
Like, commitment is huge. And the other thing is openness.
Right.
Right. So to me, that's a psychological reversal in its own right. Are you open? Are you open to a 100% releasing of the need to continue to poison your world? The need to continue to live. And then it's not just about poisoning your world, it's living in poison. In other words, is there some guilt, some shame that says because of actions done or not done in another life at another time, because of the action of taking that apple from that tree, so to speak, is this now the way that I should live, the way that I have to live, the consequence of my action or inaction is to be taken down by this poisoning? Never really occurring to us that we can look to this divine light within ourselves, whether you want to call it Allah, God, I don't care, that we can look to this highest, highest power within ourselves and say, I have poisoned me. I am guilty of living in this poison, creating this poison, drowning in this poison. I am guilty of this. Please come and help me with this poison. Please come and lift this poison from me, antidote this poison, dissolve this poison, neutralize this poison. Please, thank you. I ask for your mercy. I am so poisoned now by the experiences that I have created emotionally, so poisoned now by my own chemicals of my own negative emotions, so poisoned now by the PCBs, the dioxins, whatever this is, that I have eaten in my fish, so poisoned now that I'm literally almost down on my knees asking for my very survival, finally, that for that divine help. Right? And some part of our consciousness thinking, this God, this Allah, whatever it is, this highest power would not wish to help us. That we, if we only leave it at we, that we would not wish to help us from that highest place within ourselves. That highest place within ourselves doesn't have that much compassion, doesn't have that much capacity for understanding or forgiveness. So we're stuck where we are. You silly person who grabbed the apple in the first place, you silly person, you deserve this. This is your consequence. This is your plight. This is what you've called upon yourself. And I think that's where we are. So we're not connecting into that highest power. I do it now even with prayer. I can't control all of the food that goes into my body, but I really am trying to make sure as I put stuff in my body that I literally say, God bless this food. For me, it's God. God bless this food. Thank you for neutralizing the poisons that are still in this food. Thank you for neutralizing them, deactivating them, whatever the words are. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your help. And if I forget, I'm going back 8 hours later to ask that it be done for the food I ate 8 hours later.
Nice. All right. Well, this has been a very interesting and full-packed day. I hope you listen to the show again to get some of the information that's been there. Yes, you've been listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. We've had Tracy McBurney with us. She is with us every second Friday of the month, except this month. She can be found on the internet at tracymcburney.com, TracyMcBurney.com. We've been on Sky Radio, powered by CBS. Have a great day.